Hey guys, welcome to First Post Masterclass, our brand new podcast series where elite athletes break down their craft for you. My name is Shantanu Srivastava and joining me today is Indian hockey goalkeeper PR Srijesh. Srijesh, as you know, has been representing India at international level for over 15 years and is regarded as one of the best goalkeepers around the world. In this edition of First Post Masterclass, we'll try and discuss the nuances of goalkeeping with Srijesh.
Hi Srijesh, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
All good, all good. Srijesh, could you take me through your days spent at Sai Bangalore during lockdown? Because the entire hockey bunch spent quite a few days there and there must be some emotional highs and lows. Could you take me through that time, please?
Okay, the first series of this corona stage, that was really tough because everyone was new to corona and that atmosphere. So suddenly they closed down, they locked down everywhere. And, the rumors, the initial news about corona was like it's affecting the, aged people and the young, right. The kids. So I was most worried about my dad and my kids because my dad is 60 plus and my kids are really young. Mm-hmm. So, and even my dad is an heart patient. So definitely, mm-hmm. It is a bit worried during that time. Mm-hmm. But when I get the news about the places, my village is really secure. We never had any patient from our place. So that is the only thing which made me, relax.
Right.
And when you compare to Sai Campus, that was one of the best places where we could have been. Mm-hmm. Because when the corona epidemic start, they closed down the entrance of the camp Sai Center, so they never allowed anybody to get into the Sai Center, and they ensure a secure atmosphere for all of us. Mm-hmm. And that was like an open zoo, open place for us. It's a 90-acre property, so yeah. You are free to walk around, can, but not in a crowded way, but right. With following all the rules and regulations of mm-hmm. the health department, we allowed to walk around. Even the trainer used to give us the schedule. So mm-hmm. in a group of two or three, we used to go out, we mm-hmm. train, we got all the gym equipment into mm-hmm. the hostel so that mm-hmm. With the numbers, we just go and train. So at least mm-hmm. we try to keep ourselves fit during that time.
Mm-hmm. So it was mainly your strength training during that phase?
No.
Okay.
Actually, after this incident startup, we stopped everything. So with the guideline of this sports ministry, we shut all the grounds. Mm-hmm. So, but as I mentioned before, the campus itself is so huge.
Right.
We can do the running and all in mm-hmm. the ground itself. Mm-hmm. in the road itself.
Yeah.
So we done it there. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So sport in general is bound to change now in the post-COVID world, as we say it. Football and cricket have returned, in somewhat biosecure environments. How do you look at the entire scenario where hockey is placed and, the kind of regulations that we have in other sport like football, for example? Do you see all those things translating into hockey field also?
Now recently we got the schedule for next year's COVID. So that is one of the positive sides which we are looking at. Mm-hmm. And about this year, we are expecting to play the Asian Champions Trophy by November, maybe.
Right.
So that is the latest information which we received. But mm-hmm. getting back to the field, it's like a dream for everyone now. Because right. It's a positive sign that cricketers and footballers are starting it. With a lot of restrictions and we need to do a lot of precautions for that.
Right.
But when you are before getting into the field, there are a lot of questions will happen. So mm-hmm. the environment is right for the game or what, the surface is secure or not, the players are fit enough mm-hmm. or not. Because when you are traveling, when you are playing in the adult country, it's mm-hmm. most about you know about yourself. Okay. How you are quarantining yourself, how safe you are, mm-hmm. where you are staying. So you are more certain about your health and possibly things, but you might have a doubt about the opponent because hockey, when you consider about hockey is a physical contact game, right?
Right.
So I think the federation has to take much care about the precaution in the way that, okay, you need to get into one place and quarantine yourself or make sure that your team traveled in a safer way, that unless you are not contacted with an infected person, or the opponent team as well done the same manner, so that unless the both team when they step on the field, they both feel like, okay, we both are safe and we are ready to play the game.
Okay. Right. Okay, Srijesh, so you know, tell us something about your child. You know, what kind of kid were you? How did hockey happen to you? Let's start from the very beginning.
That's what we call state, because I'm from Kerala, and Kerala is not really good for hockey.
Yeah.
And for me, my beginning was not in hockey. I was an athlete in my school.
Okay.
So I used to do shot put. I used to run. I used to do everything, long jump, high jump.
Okay.
So in the school, it was not really in that sporty kind of atmosphere. We just do it for fun. So we used to participate in all the athletic events. And when I was in the seventh standard, my PT sir, he came and said that Sri, there is a selection trials for the sports school, and you just try it. Then I was really curious about that, and I said, okay, let's give a try. And I went for the selection trials, and I don't know how I got selected into the sports school.
Okay.
So I get into the sports school as an athlete. Okay. I was a short putter. I was a state medal holder. So I was doing short put. But when I get into the sports school, there were a lot of other athletes who is in my same age group, who's better than me in short put.
Okay.
So ultimately what people think, so when there is a lot of struggle, there is a lot of tough competition, you don't want to face them, because I never had any sports background. So I thought of, no, this is not my right choice. I need to change it. When I tried volleyball, I tried basketball, I tried football. Everywhere I didn't find it comfortable, because Kerala is really good for volleyball. So those who are in volleyball, they knew already about, they knew everything about volleyball.
Right.
So basketball is also same. Kerala is really good for basketball, even football. So in those respective games, the players who joined that game, which is already to not to them, right? So they knew that game. So for me, everything was new. I never done any professional kind of sportsman or sports. So I saw in the hockey field, there was a group of youngsters who are learning hockey basics. And I thought, okay, let me try that. And that is how I stepped into the hockey field.
Okay.
But still, my parents were really against that, because in Kerala, you know that even if you play hockey, you never get you can't develop a career in hockey. So they forced me to get back to the volleyball, but I was not so keen to get back, because you know you feel odd when you don't know anything and others are playing really well.
Yeah.
So then I thought, no, I was with this hockey, and I said, Dad, let me try this game for 3 years. If I didn't do well, then I'll definitely change when I do my plus one or plus two. And that is how I get into hockey.
And were you always into goalkeeping, or you started in any other position?
No. I started as a player. In those periods, it's not about the ability of the players. It's about how the players look. The fatty big guys always become the goalkeeper, the defender.
Yeah.
And the middle guys always, lean middle guys are always in the midfield. And the small and the fast guys always the forward. So that is how they categorize the player.
Okay.
So I started my career as a defender. So because I was fat and I was not really high, but decent height. So, so I started my basic as a player. Then there was a custom thing. So every age group, that's the standard, right? 8, 9, 10, and plus 1, plus 2. So in the 8 group, 8 standard, we need to have a goalkeeper. So generally, I'm a person of, I'm a lesser person. I don't like to run. So when I look at the goalkeepers, they are the happy souls on the field. they don't run. They stand in a corner. They just kick the ball and they just do the normal walking thing. So I didn't need to think twice. I said, coach, I will become the goalkeeper.
Okay.
Instead of a good choice, you start goalkeeping. So that is how I become the goalkeeper.
So that time you were in class 8, you told me.
Class 8.
Okay. And so you know, which part of Kerala did you grow up? Was this Trivandrum or some
other? Ernakulam.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now you are a goalkeeper, but you see, goalkeeping is a tough art, and there's always this fear of getting injured by the ball. So how did you overcome that fear, especially as a kid, you know, how did you overcome it?
See, that was like the false side of goalkeeping. They never showcased that what is really goalkeeping.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The first phase is like, you know, you give chocolate to a kid before an injection.
Yeah.
But the kids are really happy to have the chocolate. They never bother about the injection pain. But once that injection gets, they started to cry. That's the way it is. So that's what happens to me. I saw them not doing anything.
Right.
So I was feeling like, okay, this is an easy job.
Yeah.
But when I wore my pads, that's when I realized, okay, this is a trap.
Yeah.
And you cannot come out from that, because anyways, you yourself committed for that goalkeeping.
Yeah.
Then that time we don't have this latest kind of pad, so that's a cloth pad, so that is quite heavy.
Okay.
But both leggar and kicker comes like 5 to 6 kg just.
Oh.
So for me, walking with that pad was really really a tough task.
Right.
A tough task.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to walk with the pads. I started to run with that pad. Then again work out.
Mm-hmm.
Then the coach said, okay, go to the goal post.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time I realized, okay, this is really a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Because the people, they never understand. They come on this mind. They don't bother whether you get injured or you save it or it's a goal. They just want to hit it.
Right.
And for me, it was like, okay, saving the ball is like saving my soul. Saving my body, that's it. That's what goalkeeping is.
Yeah.
The first stage for myself is really,
yeah.
Okay, just save the ball, otherwise it hits you. So you need to save it. So
right.
I try to save all the ball with my hands. So I was acting like a football goalkeeper. I never used my legs. I always tried like, you know, sit like a wicket goalkeeper.
Uh-huh.
You die and you just catch the ball.
Right.
Then they said, no, this is not the goalkeeping. You need to do it the other way. So
okay.
my seniors taught me the way, how the goalkeeper stands, you know, move the way. Then, you know, in months, you get into the sportsman spirit thing. That
right.
is, I mean, that is the transition which I felt myself, like, okay, that time, you started to get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So, what happened? You started to afraid of ball. Then
right.
you, ultimately, you will complete ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, automatically, the player started to tease you. Araya, if I said, papre rakhdo. You know, you can keep a strong.
Yeah.
So that thing started to hurt me. Then I thought, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Then my mentality changed. Even if I get hurt, it's fine. I'm not going to consider goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And my coaches used to say something like daredevil goalkeeping.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to give examples of, you know, goalkeepers used to bite the ball. They don't even bother. You know,
okay.
even if the player try to kill you, but never let the ball get into the goal for you. So you get pumped up.
Right.
In younger age, you always get pumped up.
Right.
You always wanted to impress your coaches.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's how I started to getting into the serious kind mode of goalkeeping. So I tried to save it. Even I got a lot of hurt, but still I felt like, okay, I'm doing it for a for sake of doing it, right? You know?
Right.
And then I started to summon them.
Right.
Score if you dare, and then that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So was there ever an instance that you were hit really bad, and then sort of the fear of getting hit went away? That, you know, sometimes it happens that when you are hit too hard, and then you kind of realize ki theek hai, isse zyada nahi lagegi. You can't be hit, it can't hurt more than a certain point. And then the fear eventually goes away.
That is the time.
Yeah.
I never wore any shorts. We do have a hot pant. Nowadays we call it a hot pant.
Mm-hmm.
So that cover your thighs, your hamstring, and your butt.
Right.
And you always wear abdomen guard. So,
right.
So that is nowadays it's a triple protection one.
Okay.
And nowadays we use arm guard. So those times it's like leg guard, kicker, abdomen guard, and a chest guard, gloves. Gloves also, it's not a proper glove. That's also a wicketkeeper glove.
Okay.
And a helmet, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So your visible part is more. So the entire arms and the thighs, it's visible for the players. So they will keep there only.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens, after every training session, I can see that blood knot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
the sore point.
Right.
And after getting so many hits, I came into a stage that I become numb.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot feel any pain
right.
in those areas.
Right.
Then it started like, okay, that's it, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But within 2 years, I mean, when I was in a 10th standard, I bought that patch. Then that became more easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And obviously, gradually, then your career progressed. Could you remember the incident or the instance where you thought that, okay, you are really good enough to play for India? When did that realization happen?
No. That never happened to me.
I mean,
in my early days. Because for me, the biggest dream to get into the district team.
Okay.
You know, into the district team and play a state level championship and maximum to get to the state team. That was my ultimate dream.
Okay.
So in 2008, I mean 2000, after Sydney Olympics, from my school, there were two guys. I mean, I know one, Dinamore and Dinesh Nayak.
Okay.
Dinesh Nayak was not from my school, but he was from Kerala. So from my school, being a sports hoster, we felicitated them after the Olympics.
Okay.
So they came to my school. They said, Dinamore said that, okay, if I can play for my country, everyone in the school are capable to play for the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that is what she said, if I can, you can.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the first spark which I felt inside me that, okay, if I do better, I can be there in the national team. But that was like, I don't dare to dream of that. But I knew that, okay, that's it, the general knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Then, The next year, in 9th, I got an opportunity. I got selected into the under-16 Kerala team.
Okay.
And that's the time I was traveling to Delhi for playing the nationals. My coach said, "So you know what?" I said, "What, coach?" He said, "If you play really well, there is a chance for you to get into the national team."
Okay.
I said, "How?" So he said, "Stay in the national, the selectors will come, they will watch you play, and if you do good, they will select you into the national team."
Okay.
I was like really thrilled. But eventually, I was the second goalkeeper. I never got a chance to play.
Okay.
But I was like, okay, it's okay. Then I was like, when there, I was searching for characters, if there are
yeah.
But being a young kid,
you
know, playing national is like big thing.
Yeah,
so
right.
you don't bother about getting into the national team or not.
Yeah.
But in the next year, when I was in the 10th grade, I was like really serious. I thought okay, let's try. And I think, in 2000, I don't know which year, that was 2001 and 2. That's the year when we played the junior nationals. I was really good. And that is how I made my first step into the under-16 camp.
Rajshree, now let's talk about goalkeeping itself. See, like it happens in cricket, there are wicketkeepers, and in football, there are goalkeepers. But they are noticed only when they miss something. Because saving balls is routine stuff. Nobody notices them. Only when you commit an error that people start talking, okay, look, that goalkeeper has missed a chance or something. Do you think, what do you think of that? Do you think that is fair?
See, that is it. That is it. I mean, that is all about goalkeeping, right?
Yeah.
When I started my career, my coach gave me one valuable advice. He said, see, you can become the hero of the game or you can become the zero of the game. You are a one-man army on the field. So you can be the reason of a victory or you can be a reason of a failure. So I already prepared myself when I started my career. It's like, okay, it's like a thankless job. You are doing a thankless job.
Right.
So as you mentioned, that is the biggest fact of being a goalkeeper. I always felt it like goalkeeping is a different kind of game what you play on the hockey field.
Okay.
Because either way, if you save a ball or if you concede a goal, you play a lot of mental game during that game.
Right.
So if I concede a goal, the first minute of the game, I got another 59 minutes to think about that game. I mean that goal, right?
Right, exactly.
Or, I got another 10 minutes to face another ball to rectify that mistake. But that 10 minutes is really crucial for me.
Yeah.
So, I can get negative. I was thinking, oh, God, I can't get that goal. What will happen? The players will tell or coach? What coach will tell? What the audience will tell? What the association will think? What the media will write?
Right.
You know, you do you do have enough time to think the negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you save a very good, if you've done a very good save,
mm-hmm.
then you have another 10 minutes to get yourself hyper, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing right. also is not good for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you tend to lose focus, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is quite easy. So when you get overconfidence also, mm-hmm. that's also really bad for virtually because you need to be in a neutral mm-hmm. position to face the next challenge.
Right. Okay. Sri, so you are obviously quite aggressive when you are on the turf, and but, you know, outside the field of play, you come across as somebody who's very chilled out. So do you mentally, do you switch something on inside you when you step on the turf, or how does this process take this? Okay.
So I felt it like if you keep alert your defensive structure,
mm-hmm.
then it's quite easy for you to save the ball,
mm-hmm.
right? It's my basic fundamental is to keep the ball away.
Okay.
So I always talk to my defense. I always arrange my defensive structure so only the ball doesn't come to my circle.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crucial for me.
Right.
So I always try to keep the ball away from me. So that is why when I'm on the field, I talk to them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely before I was like really high because my defenders, they always come and ask me that, Sri, talk to us, call them.
Okay.
You know, even mm-hmm. Raghu used to come and tell me that Sri, call me so I get more energy.
Okay.
So we do share hard, mm-hmm. hard wording. But
mm-hmm.
That's not mean to hurt him. That's mm-hmm. not mean to do any harm to him. But it's
right.
to motivate each other.
Right.
So that is the understanding which we share.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, your responsibility is totally different than off the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Off the field, you can become what you are.
Right.
But on the field, you need to take the responsibility.
Right. So what is your mindset like before a match? Do you get into a particular zone or... You know, can you take me through that business process when that switch flips on inside you?
See, that comes with experience.
Okay.
For an answer, if you ask them, okay, whether you switch on or switch off,
mm-hmm.
there is no anything with them. For me, that is a different state. I always start, even today, I played more than 300 matches,
mm-hmm.
unofficially,
mm-hmm.
but even today, when I get into the field, I have some, the good butterflies
right,
in my
right.
stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens. That mm-hmm. that gives you the game vibe.
Right.
Okay. That gives me that allows me to realize that as we are getting ready for a match.
Right.
And once I step into the field, then I'm normal. I knew mm-hmm. that okay, this is the time. This is a short time. Just go and play your game.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what I do. I try to get that game feeling
mm-hmm.
at that particular time to perform really well. And I mean, you can't do that directly on the field. So you
mm-hmm.
need to train that during the game,
right.
during the training. So
mm-hmm.
I train that during the training and I try to apply it on the match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you visualize also before a match?
I do it not
mm-hmm.
before the match. I do it previous night.
Okay. And so, what is it that you visualize?
Nothing really, but I watch the opening match. I mean, clips, videos,
mm-hmm.
their penalty corners,
okay.
the way they hit the ball,
mm-hmm.
and we just prepare myself that okay, if he's going to pick that, if he flick the ball on the right top, how I'm going to save.
Mm-hmm.
I visualize myself. So if he's going to write down, if flick the ball right down, how I'm going to save it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I consider goal, how I'm going to recover? If I,
right.
if I made a save, how I'm going to make myself calm?
Mm-hmm.
So I just do the normal visualization that everyone does.
Okay, Shri, so there is this belief that a goalkeeper's position on the field helps you control the game better, right? Because you are standing at that vantage position where the entire field is right there in front of you. So is it true, first? And second, how exactly do you control the game, if you want to?
See, on the field, you are acting like, you are acting like a coach.
Hmm.
Okay, you have the responsibility to control the team. You have the responsibility to guide the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is quite easy for a goalkeeper to get the better view of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, so second thing is like okay, you need to have a very good knowledge about the strategy. So you need to understand the game plans. You need to be with the players meeting, to be with the players training, so that at least you understand what they're training, how they're training, and which situation, which skill they are using. So these kind of things will help you to really guide the player during a match.
Okay, Sri, now, see, when the opposition players are rushing towards you, towards your half, we see a lot of goalkeepers get in a bent position, you know, a bit like deadlift, you bent in your stance. Can you explain what is the reason for that stance? What are you looking to do?
See, the same way, you watch tennis, right?
Yeah.
What tennis players do, the one who's receiving the serve.
Yeah.
So he always ready on his toes, and he keeps his hand in the middle posture, so that if either side, if the ball goes on right or left, he gets a better bouncing from the toe. So that's why the goalkeepers does that posture.
Okay. And you are standing on the balls of your feet? Or do you...
Yeah, it's like you need to divide the weight of your body equal to, equal weight. So you can't hang on one leg. You need to balance with both the legs.
Okay. And when they are approaching, do you look at the opposition players and try to read their plan, or are you looking at the ball, looking at the defenders?
Both the ways. Both the ways, because if the ball is far from me, I always look at the players also, because a lot of the players got their own individual skills, individual talents. So somebody is very good at hitting, somebody is very good at slapping, somebody is very good at giving a space. So you need to understand which player is going to take the shot. So I do look at the player, but the rules say that you should not look at the player, you should watch the ball.
Okay. But you have kind of developed the habit of looking at the players as well as the ball. You can, you know.
Definitely. My first concern is I always look at who is going to hit the ball, definitely. Then I chase the ball.
Okay. And there can be periods in a match when the ball is not in your half and, you know, it's natural to be switched off a bit. But then suddenly there could be a turnover or a counter attack. So how do you develop this habit of constantly switching off and switching on all the time?
See, that has happened a lot of time, because when you are playing against a lower ranked team, that is the time which this kind of scenario happens a lot.
Yeah.
So you won't get a lot of goals, but suddenly one goal comes, maybe you concede a goal or you will save it. But I think this is one thing which you need to train a lot, because when the ball is on the opponent side, you should distract yourself, because you know, you cannot focus on one thing for more than 1 minute or 2 minutes, right?
Right.
You always get distracted. So if you try to focus 60 minutes on the ball, it is really tough, and it cannot happen.
Right.
So what I do, I sing songs. On the goal post, when I stand and the ball is away from me, I sing songs.
Okay.
Or I will look around, if I see somebody, I just wave, because I just want to distract myself, so that when the ball comes again into my circle or into my half, that's the time I switch back, I'll be ready. Because at the time, my mind will be really fresh and I'll be really ready to face the challenge.
Right. Okay, Sri, a number of times we see goalkeepers rushing out to a particular distance inside the tee and then they return to goal line. So is there a distance or an area marked in your head beyond which you decide that you won't go? Or
it's depending. It's individually depending on the goalkeeper. So some goalkeepers are really fast with the gear, and they can reach more distance in a short time. They go till the top of the circle. But if some goalkeepers are really slow and their movements are really, you know, your reflexes are really slow, then definitely you need to stay. Stay back, or you only cover 5 or 6 meters in that sort of period. So it is totally depending on the individual.
And what works for you? For you personally speaking, what is your?
I think I always take the decision according to the situation. I most of the time I prefer to stay in the goalpost, but when I feel it like if it's a one-on-one situation on the top of circle, then definitely I will go and charge him, because my one-on-one skill is really good comparatively staying on the post.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, see, during a goal-scoring move, there could be more than one opposition players inside the D. Then in that case, how do you decide how much you want to commit to a defensive rush or a dive, since there is always the risk of deflection or a rebound? So your mind constantly ticks, you know, whether you have to rush out or you have to dive or etc. or you have to stand. How do you do that? I mean, can you take me through that process?
It is like you need to react. No, you should not initiate the action.
Okay.
So I think I always wait for the player to take the action.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just try to react.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is you cannot explain that through words, but mm-hmm. when you show somebody on the second post, if you look at the team, if I playing against Australia,
okay.
I feeling like, okay, they are going to hit on the second post.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I play against Belgium, I get that feeling like, okay, they are going to hit on the second post.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play against a lower-ranked team, probably they will not try to hit on the second post. They will try to take a direct shot.
Okay.
So that's calculated depending on the team also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And generally speaking, do you prefer to run towards the ball and walk the angle? Or you, like I said, you wait for an extra second to give yourself more certainty? So
that's what I said. That is mm-hmm. dependent. If I'm a one-on-one situation, okay, mm-hmm. if I do have an opponent and me, then I always go up.
Okay.
But if there is any second chance, if I saw that, okay, one of that opponent is rushing mm-hmm. and the other one is supporting him, then definitely I always stay back.
Okay.
Because what is the main target for the goalkeeper is to gain time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you gain time, if you delay the situation, then automatically your defender will come and cover the opponent.
Right.
Okay. So that is what I do. I try to get more time to mm-hmm. delay them. I mean, to delay them and get my defensive players back.
Right.
You just act according to your situation. That mm-hmm. happens with me a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing goalkeeping from 20 years. Last mm-hmm. 20 years, I'm doing goalkeeping. So mm-hmm. I was training certain exercises like a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean 20,000, 30,000 times I've done that skill. So that comes to me automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You just react it.
Okay.
I mean, that happens with me a lot of times. I just made the decision and I've done it. Then I realize, then I think,
okay,
what I have done. Then everything was in a right, right way. Then it's like, okay, it's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but sometimes I always prefer to work according to my sense, So it's not rather than just doing it. I always analyze, I always wait. And I take the decision.
Okay. Yeah. How important is anticipation for a goalkeeper?
See, saving the ball is the best part for goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That's the best thing for goalkeeper. So, if that is the case, this anticipation, this judgment, these all things are like cherry on the cake. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
But in my experience, I saw a lot of goalkeepers, they anticipate, but their anticipation went wrong, and they concede easy goals.
Okay.
So, for you, the ultimate target for you to save the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to be there on the position, the basic position when they try to take a shot,
mm-hmm.
rather than you yourself anticipating the ball somewhere and committing yourself.
Okay.
If you know that, okay, some players, they do have a system, then definitely they will come like that, and they do that in that, what is it called, set piece.
Okay.
So there is a pattern. It's like if you run with the ball through the baseline,
mm-hmm.
and there is two options for him. One is to play a 90-degree pass, or one is a 45-degree pass.
Yeah.
And that's, you already knew that, okay, there is two options for them. One is 90-degree pass and one is 45-degree pass.
Right.
And if you don't have a defender at the 95-degree area,
mm-hmm.
then definitely they are going to do a pass to there.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do, you automatically wait for the shot.
Okay.
But when you saw there is no defender in the 45-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
then what you do, you commit, you go mm-hmm. for the closing down.
Right.
Okay. So, probably these things happen according to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about penalty corners and shootouts. So these are tense affairs, of course. And what's the trick to stay calm? Because you know, a lot of things must be going inside your head when a penalty corner, for example, is granted and you are getting ready in the position. What do you discuss with the defenders beside you? What goes inside your head then?
So with the defenders, we always discuss the way we run. So there is kind of different ways of defensive running.
Yeah.
It's like one player is running, two players is running, or you want to play, I mean, you know, you want three players to run.
Yeah.
So while the penalty corner defense, the goalkeeper is the in charge. So you need to take the decision.
Okay.
So what I analyze the opponent, I look at them, I analyze the setup of attacking. Then I take the decision whether we want to go a one up or two up or three up.
Okay.
So that is what we decide.
Okay.
The basic rule is to watch the ball.
Okay.
But you always have to analyze them to get the clue to get an idea where they are going to pick the ball.
Mm-hmm.
If Sunil, SV Sunil, take an example of SV Sunil. If SV Sunil takes 10 shots, he might like to shoot 10, I mean 8 shots on my right down.
Okay.
So that is his favorite side.
Okay.
So it's easy for me when I analyze his videos, it's easy for me to find out that that is his favorite place.
Right.
And secondly, I analyze myself. I look at my place where I concede more goals. So if I feel like, okay, I concede more goals on my right down, then I make it sure that, okay, this fellow is going to click on my right down. But
right.
It is my calculation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. What I want to do is, after all, I want to do to react to their action.
Mm-hmm.
You train a lot. I mean, you know, in a day, you save almost 100 penalty corners.
Mm-hmm.
So in a month, you save like thousands of penalty corners.
Right.
So automatically, when the ball releases from the stick, that is the time we get the judgment. We feel like, okay, this is the time. And that is the time, without even our knowledge, we move towards that ball.
Yeah.
So that is a good quality of a training.
Right.
But sometimes goalkeeper jets. Mm-hmm. It's like, I knew that, okay, this player is going to pick on my right down.
Mm-hmm.
I always mainly prefer to save that ball in right down.
Right.
But for me, it is like, okay, after all, whatever calculation I make, in the last moment, I always watch the ball and react to that ball. That's it.
Okay. So, you know, one basic remains the same, that after all the preparations, all you have to do is to keep your eye on the ball and you know, kind of react after that.
React. That is basic goalkeeping. But whatever homework you do, because the analyzing the player, analyzing the videos, their penalty corner strike, it will help you to make sure that your decision is right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And does physicality matter to be a goalkeeper? I mean, do you think your height and build gives you some advantage in terms of intimidation?
Height is definitely an advantage because nowadays reflection, it's quite, I mean, you can't say that. If you a Canadian goalkeeper, he's short, but he's doing really great.
Right.
But if you take David Hathe is really, he's tall and he's saving all the balls. But moreover, I think you do have an advantage when you are tall and then you do have an advantage when you are short. When you are short, you are really fast. But when you are tall, you can cover more area. But I think it's most about your mentality and your hard work. That matters.
Right. And in your opinion, who are the toughest track figures to face and what makes them so difficult?
Everyone. I don't take anybody easy because everyone got their different style.
Okay.
Ashley Jackson got his style. Shailabak got his own style. Rupinder Pal got his style. Or Fukri got his own style. So every player, Moon got his own style. So everyone got their different style. But it matters in what situation of the match you get the time to go on.
Right. Okay. And how do you get your focus back after you have conceded a goal or a penalty? I think you briefly talked about it earlier when you said that, you know, suppose in the first minute you concede and you have next 59 minutes to think about, you know, your goal all the time. So, how important is it to get back your focus and how do you do that if you have conceded an early goal or something?
Okay, if I concede an early goal, I try to drink some water and I try to talk.
Okay.
I do a lot of self-talk because I'm my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So, I talk to myself that it's okay, it's fine. Then I find out that what next I can do. So I talk to my defender. Right. I talk to them. I make sure that okay, they get that trust back.
Right.
Because if when goalkeeper consider goal in the early minutes, that shake the team. But mm-hmm. I don't want to happen. That's so I communicate. I talk mm-hmm. a lot.
Right.
When I talk, I get the connection again. I get connected with mm-hmm. the players that mm-hmm. help me to get back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I do my routine. I sing mm-hmm. a song. I look at the stadium. I mm-hmm. look around. If somebody's racing, I race them. I talk mm-hmm. to them. I smile at them.
Mm-hmm.
And look for a good girl. I mean, seriously, beautiful girls. Look at her. There, that's fine.
Yeah.
Because that helps you to
yeah.
forget that yeah. incident which happens to you right now.
Right.
You know, that helps you to overcome that all pressure and to get back to what you are.
Right.
Then again, when the ball comes back to your circle of 25 yards, you are ready. You are fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's always help.
Right. And you know, you talked about that you back yourself when there is a one-on-one scenario. Well, does that when it comes to shootouts, do you really like to be challenged in that kind of a scenario, or does that make you nervous? How do you look at the entire shootout scenario where it is one on one, just you and the opponent?
So, when I walk from sideline to the goalpost, I look at the player
mm-hmm.
who is coming.
Okay.
So. And probably if I have his video, mm-hmm. I will have look at that. If it's a new guy, then I look at him.
Okay.
Where he plays, which position mm-hmm. he plays, what his quality is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for me, it's all about killing the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to say the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to kill that 8 seconds. So I'm going for the deficit.
It. Mm-hmm.
It's been 10 years for me playing
mm-hmm.
hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost 9 years for me in this new pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost faced 10 or 15 times the shootout.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first time it was like really, my heart rate reached to 150, 170, maybe 200.
Wow. Okay.
But when you get more experience,
yeah.
it's like, okay, you are able to analyze the situation and you are ready to face a challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's become like a normal routine. So,
right.
you'll be like, you behave like a normal guy.
Mm-hmm. So, do you?
And for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, please carry on. Yeah.
So for me, that is what I do when I am standing mm-hmm. next. I mean, I know when I'm going to the goal post, I look, I analyze mm-hmm. the players.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm the goal post, I feel like, okay, what should I do?
Mm-hmm.
So I always remind about all the basics. Then
mm-hmm.
I'm ready. When the whistle blows,
mm-hmm.
I'm done. The next
okay.
thing what I do is only watching the ball.
Okay. And obviously you have saved so many of shootouts. Does that give you a kick when the match goes into a shootout? Do you like that, you know, that it's just between you and the opponent now? You are the one who is going to decide.
No. I never like shootouts, brother. It is like a time bomb. It is like a time bomb. You only harm yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you win one match, it doesn't matter. But next match, when you lose it, that all blame comes to you. So I never wanted to get into that shootout scenario.
Right. Okay. Okay, and during these shootouts, people obviously try to create angles and they use a lot of reverse flicks to score. So when and how do you decide to dive? And is diving a better option than using a stick in such situations?
See, that's comes to your preparation or
okay.
comes to the way you prepare yourself for the shootout. So
mm-hmm.
probably what all the goalkeepers does, they always try to keep their body, try to get their body in the line of the ball.
Okay.
Because when they hit the ball reverse, even if you die, there is a less chance for you to get that ball because most of the time they flick the ball and
yeah.
they try to hit the ball in the net.
Okay. And personally speaking for you, do you like to physically move to cover the area or do you like to dive?
That's also depending on the situation.
Mm. Okay.
Because I'm fit enough to move with the ball,
mm-hmm.
and even I'm good enough to dive with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I always say both the way. So it's cutting. I mean, you know, I always take the decision according to the situation because you can't go to a shootout saying that okay, this ball I'm going to dive,
right.
or this ball I'm going to move. No,
mm-hmm.
it's all that you prepare yourself for everything,
mm-hmm.
and you, when you go there, you just use your weapons according to the situation.
Okay. Okay, Sri, let's talk about diving technique itself. when you dive, see, we have seen you diving sideways as well as in front. So can you break down your technique? How do you look to transfer the weight, and where do you look to land, etc.? Take me through that, through the, you know, the physical process of diving itself. What do you try to do when you are, how do you dive?
First of all, I don't prefer to dive. Because when you die, that is the end of your movement.
Okay.
So then you are dead. That is the last option for the goalkeeper.
Okay.
And when you are preparing, or when you want to dive, you just either you want to make a foul or you need to save that ball. That's it.
Okay.
You need to clear that ball. Mm-hmm. If the ball is nearby, again the player gets the ball and hit score.
Right.
So when you dive, definitely you need to shift your body weight to the same. I mean, if you want to dive, you always take the weight on your right leg, and definitely you get a push from your left leg.
Okay.
So that helps you to dive further away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just like jumps. I mean, in a frog jumping into the pool. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. Shri, we see a lot of times teams score goals in the dying minutes of the game, and that has happened to every team. Do you think it is partly because the goalkeeper is kind of mentally exhausted with all the game that has happened before him?
No. See, the one team conceding a goal doesn't mean that goalkeeper is the only reason because for that goal.
Mm-hmm.
So what the new studies or the coaches say, there is 5 or 6 mistakes which leading into a goal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's a collective effort of the entire team which it's ultimately resulted into a goal. So you can't blindly blame goalkeepers. And certainly goalkeepers are the ultimate in charge of the goal, but definitely you can't blindly blame the goalkeepers for the last minute considering a goal. Because, it's a matter of all the players. You can say that in the last minute we over score and we won.
Mm-hmm.
In the last minute, I think even me, myself, we won a lot of matches in the last minute, say.
Right.
But in the same way, we lost in the last second. So it's a collective effort.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So at the end of the match, what do you feel more? Is it mental exhaustion or physical exertion?
It's both the ways, brother. I feel like I'm totally dead.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like, you know, if you win a match, definitely that will give you some kind of relief and you feel a bit happy.
Mm-hmm.
But still your body is like, okay, you are tired.
Right.
But when you play a really tough match and the last moment you lose, then definitely that is like that's double of the
right.
You know, the time now. So that's
Okay. See, Shri, so you are a top goalkeeper, of course, and teams study you. They analyze you a lot. They look at how you move and what are your strengths, weaknesses, etc. So how important is it to innovate as a goalkeeper?
See, I always try to change my style. I never try to play the same way that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the good things. And definitely, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
There is limitation for the player. So there is limitation for changing a lot.
Yeah.
So it's better to focus where you are good at.
Yeah.
And it's always good there. I mean, you know, to work on where you are weak.
Right.
And definitely, it's good at work on the opponent's positive side.
Okay.
So that is what I do, rather than worrying about what is happening or what others are doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when you really know, okay, what is the plus and minus, that will help you to do the right things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ashri, and is your physical training different from those of the others? Because obviously, as a goalkeeper, I guess you do not need that kind of aerobic strength. I may be wrong, but that is what.
No, we do. We do almost. Mm-hmm. Similar, if they do 10 repetition, we do 6 or 7, that's it.
Okay.
So, we do more explosive workout. We need to work out for the reaction, reflection, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And can you give me a glimpse of your workout regime? What is your average day in gym like?
So, morning, I mean, both the times we train with the team. So,
okay.
In a morning session, if you take Monday morning, we go to training.
Mm-hmm.
We train. I mean, so we go earlier 10 or 15 minutes. So we do our specific warm up for the goalkeeper with the movements, with the balls, juggling and all. So at least we get some eye and head coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And we pad up, we join the team. So we do 10 or 15 minutes of specific warm up.
Mm-hmm.
And we join the team, we train with the teams for the drills and all. And then we change, we come back we have lunch and we get a break, then evening we go train. Mm-hmm. The same way we do. But okay. Probably some days we do have a gym. So mm-hmm. afternoon, so we after morning sessions we go to the gym, we train. Mm-hmm. Or some day after training we get some physical training. So we run or we do some, mm-hmm. yeah, definitely running. Physical mm-hmm. training is running, yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, do goalkeepers need heavy lifting or, I mean, that's not required for you guys?
I prefer to lift a lot. One
okay.
second. I do heavy lifting.
Okay.
I don't mind. I do good gym, so it's not a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But some doesn't like to do anything, so mm-hmm. that's also different.
Okay, okay. All right. And Sri, you are obviously referred to as the Wall. Media writes a lot about you like that way. How does this moniker feel like? And you know, people love you in India. They chant your name. How is the feeling in the middle?
See, for me, that name belongs to Rahul Dravid.
Yeah.
So that in 2001, after winning the Asian Champions Trophy,
yeah.
that's the time in newspaper they first time mentioned me as the Wall of Indian hockey team.
Yeah.
From there onwards, they are writing it.
Yeah.
But I know it's a great feeling. It's a great thing because at least when people talk about hockey and when they say okay the Wall, then definitely when they take your name, that is
mm-hmm.
something, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that helps you. That's a kind of responsibility, by the way.
Right.
It is not easy way, but it's a kind of responsibility. You need to perform
mm-hmm.
up to that level, right?
Right. Right.
You can't disappoint them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is what it's more about. So
mm-hmm.
for me, that kind of responsibility is my energy to work really hard and
mm-hmm.
keep the performance on that high.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sri, you have had a long career. If I were to ask you to pick out two matches, one would be the most memorable match and the other one match that you would like to forget. What would they be and why?
One is definitely Asian Games final
yeah.
in 2014.
Yeah.
And one is 2006, my first debut.
Okay.
And that final match, which I wanted to forget because we lost to Pakistan.
Okay.
And in the finals, I considered two goals between my legs. So
okay.
that was one of the matches I wanted to forget.
Mm-hmm. That is 2006.
Yeah, that was 2006.
Okay. All right. And And any particular turning point that you would like to recall from your long career? It can be anything that has happened in the field or any advice that you would have received from anywhere that kind of changed your career around. No, because
I think the advice which I got is from Adrian.
Hmm.
Because when I was with him in the junior team,
hmm.
he was a kind of role model to me.
Okay.
And I liked him very much. Then I tried to copy him a lot.
Okay.
You know, like the way Adrian says, I tried to deter him
mm-hmm.
in a lot of ways.
Right.
But what he said, see, don't try to copy me. Because if you try to copy me,
mm-hmm.
you will become like Adrian. You cannot improve further.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to develop your own style,
mm-hmm.
then automatically you will become, you can improvise that, you can find out the fault and you can improve always.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped me to develop my own style and my own career. But
mm-hmm.
that advice helped me to become what I am today.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when he advised this? Do you remember?
I think I was like 17 or 18 maybe.
Okay. Okay. And you kind of really started thinking about your game after that you know, you don't have to copy somebody but have to develop your own game.
Yes, because he is like my role model, he is like a brother, he is like a mentor to me.
Yeah.
So that's why I get more attached to him and I wanted to become like him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the time, the right time he said that, okay, see, don't copy me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I realized, okay, what he said makes sense and
mm-hmm.
I want to create my own style.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
I think I'm pursuing that.
Mm-hmm. Sri, last one, for those any young hockey goalkeepers who might be listening or reading this, any advice you'd like to give them?
Goalkeeping, it's a tough job. It's
yeah.
not really easy, actually.
Yeah.
But first thing, I want to tell them, just stop the ball. That's it. That is your duty. Don't
yeah.
think about how you're stopping it. Just stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And second thing, don't afraid. Because when you get when you get that fear, that's the time you complete goal. So don't get fear. Just try to save that ball. That's it. That's it. Goalkeeping is really easy. Don't allow that ball pass you. That's it.
You made it sound so easy, Sri, and we know that it is not that simple. All right, Sri, that was great talking to you, and take care of yourself.
Yeah.
We'll
you too, you too. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
All right, so that was Pia Srijesh in this edition of First Post Masterclass. Hope you enjoyed listening to us, and do tune in next time. Thanks and goodbye.